All right. Good evening. I want to welcome you guys out tonight. Thank you so much for being here. So as we get started, can you guys hear me okay? Everyone. Every time. You guys can hear me okay? Dave can hear me okay? Okay. All right. I don't have a sound guy tonight, so I had to kind of put it where I thought a good spot would be. So a couple announcements to get started. And right out the gate, we want to let you guys know we're excited that we have our 2025 Global Prayer Guides. So if you remember from the last couple of years, these are from Voice of the Martyrs. And literally, there's different nations represented in here. And each nation has kind of its own page and section. And you can read about how to be praying for that nation, the strengths of that nation as far as Christianity is concerned, the struggles or trials for believers or missionaries in that area, whether it's a closed nation, an open nation. So it's a great resource to have. We've had these out available for the last couple of years. Obviously, in the fall, we do our International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church using the same type of format with the prayer guide. So we just got them in. There's a bunch up here. They will be out at the missionary area as well here after tonight. So if you want to grab one tonight, you can. They're up here. If you want to wait, you can grab one out there this weekend. If you would, do us a favor, try to grab one per family. We do have a limited number, but one per family is great. Then just a reminder, some of you have devotionals that you're doing. Some of you already are in the Word and different things. But just a reminder, we do have daily breads available. And so we just got in the new ones for the next year, a little explanation and story and an application point. So if you're looking for something to do to just kind of get started in the Word of God this year, to get started on kind of that devotional journey of spending time in God's Word every day, this is a great, simple, easy way to do that. Absolutely free. Just go grab one from the Welcome Center. They're available to you. A couple of announcements to get started as far as just church stuff. I want to remind you that obviously this Sunday we're super excited about Baptism Sunday. And so unfortunately, one of our potential people that we're going to be baptized is under the weather. So they may or may not be, but it's kind of always like that. You never know, obviously, this time of year. But we're so excited for those that are able to be here and be baptized. So be praying for that. Again, if you've never been baptized following your salvation in Christ, we'd love to talk to you more about that. Sisters in Christ, that's starting up. Again, all those booklets are due February 2nd, so you have two more Sundays to get that turned in this Sunday, and then the next Sunday is the 2nd, so please make sure you turn that in, ladies. There's two little booklets together. One is to kind of explain what everything's about. One is for you to fill out, so definitely make sure you go over to the ladies' table and grab one of those. If there are no booklets there, let Kelsey know, let me know, and we'll definitely make sure we get you one. Football Sunday is coming up February 9th. Again, such an amazing thing to just invite people too. We try to have a little bit of fun in the morning, but also obviously get into the Word. And so it's going to be a great time. Wear your football apparel if you have any. And again, maybe you're not concerned about football or even care, but maybe a neighbor, a family member, or a friend, coworker, they're into it. They really get into the Super Bowl. Man, invite them out. It'd be a great way to have them and their family come and join us. Right after the service is a potluck luncheon, and then we're going to have our evening service after lunch. So we're going to kind of move that service up. So we kind of do everything, morning service, lunch, and then evening service. And then that way you can have the rest of the afternoon and evening to spend with family and friends and whatever it is you might find yourself doing. So sign up at the Welcome Center for the potluck. I want to encourage you to do that. We really would love to have a lot of people involved in that. It's kind of funny. You know, when I first became the pastor, we would do a potluck luncheon and there was like maybe 40 people would come out. Now when we do potluck luncheons, we have like 100 or more people sometimes. So it's just a different style. So we really would love to have you get involved in that and sign up to bring a dish to pass. Also, Hallelujah Quilters Craft Retreats coming up the 14th and the 15th of February. So don't forget about that. If you're interested in that, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. And then next Wednesday night is the Word of Life Glow Night. So don't forget about that if you have children or grandchildren in there. Men's Prayer Breakfast is coming up February 1st. So guys, don't forget about that. That's 8 a.m. first Saturday of every month between October and May. First Saturday of the month at 8 a.m. We always have men's prayer breakfast. Usually we're done by between 9 and 9:15. So it's a great way to start your Saturday. We get into the Word. We have great fellowship, prayer, and great food. So come on out to that, guys. It's going to be great. And then also just a little bit of a heads up. We are starting in February our food drive. So every February, we do a month-long food drive. We collect a bunch of non-kitchen, soup kitchen, and so take that to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. They host a pantry there and a food kitchen, a soup kitchen. And so we give all of that to them to help kind of stock their pantry. And so if you want to be a part of that, coming in February, that first Sunday of February, there'll be a table out here where you can just drop off food items. And I would love to see that just be exploded with donations. And then at the end of the month, we'll take that all over to St. Paul's and be a blessing to them. All right. So a lot of things going on. Don't forget as well, this Sunday, not only with Baptism Sunday, but we also have our annual business meeting. That's following our evening service. And so we will be voting on officers. And so this last Sunday, there was the nomination form of all the different people that have been nominated for the various offices and positions. Again, be praying for them, praying for wisdom in your selecting of them, but also just be thankful for them. Their willingness to serve is always a blessing. If you did not get a form or if you lost it, there will be one in the bulletin this Sunday. But then also, don't take it with you tonight, because we only have the one there. But at the Welcome Center, there is a copy of that form, just one of them there, just kind of set out. Snap a picture of it with your phone, and that way you'll have it with you to be praying about those individuals, all right? So it's going to be great. And I really honestly, preparing the ministry report for the meeting, I always do that usually the week or two before the meeting, which is really where we just go over everything the Lord has done in our church the last year. We just had our deacon meeting for January. Just so excited to share with you guys all that God has been doing this last year. A lot of the things that he's doing, we can't put a number on. We can't gauge as far as, you know, a specific number, but we know he is moving in mighty ways, and we want to share what we can share as far as how he's moving in some great ways and things that we're able to do this year that we haven't been able to do in a long time. So we're so excited because of what happened last year, what we're able to do this year. So join us for that this Sunday night. Again, all members are very strongly encouraged to come. Members are the ones that are voting to choose these officers. If you are not a member of the church, you are more than welcome to be a part of the service and a part of the business meeting to follow. But obviously voting, asking questions, those kind of things, that's reserved for the members. So, but you're welcome to come and kind of hear what God is doing. All right. Any comments, questions, or thoughts about any upcoming events or activities, anything at all like that that I can answer before we pray? All right. Well, before we pray, just a little heads up too. With the potential of some snow coming after church, we just want to encourage everybody when church is wrapped up, we're still going to go to 8:15 like normal, and we'll still have our prayer group time and all that. But we're really going to try to make sure the prayer groups end by 8:15. And then if you could do us the favor of going ahead and making sure, and I know we all love fellowship, we all love having conversation, that's good, but do us a favor and maybe go right to the classes and to the gym, pick up your kids, grandkids, and you know, kind of get on the road. We don't want anyone out when they don't need to be if snow is coming. And so just a heads up on that in case I forget to mention it when we dismiss to prayer group, all right? Well, let's pray, and we'll jump into God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this evening. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, this church. Lord, I think about over 125 years this church has been in this community. And I believe it's been a place that has preached the gospel, a place that's been a lighthouse to this community. Lord, a heritage of faithfulness to you. Lord, I'm just so thankful for a place that we can gather to lift you up and to worship you. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our time tonight. Lord, I pray you'd be with all of our ministries that are going on right now, Lord, from Gopher Buddies to the Olympians to the teen ministry. I pray you bless each one, every child that is here, every young person that is here, Lord, those of us gathered here for worship and the adult service, Lord. I just pray that you'd bless each one with an open heart, an open mind, a desire to hear from you. Lord, I pray that we would not be dull in hearing, but receive what you have for us, myself included. Person who helps in the nurse hall monitor, faithfully out there every Wednesday night, just keeping an eye on things, Lord. I'm so thankful for just those that serve, that are here consistently, Lord, that desire to just serve your church. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless each one of them in a mighty way. Be with those that are teaching tonight, Lord. Give them wisdom, clarity of mind. Help them to say what you've laid on their heart to communicate. Help the word to go forth and that it would not return void, as you say, it's promised not to do. It will have an effect on those that hear it. And so, Father, again, in all these things, we just give every bit of it to you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for just your grace, your love, and your mercy. And Father, again, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, even on a Wednesday night, if they don't know Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Again, Father, we thank you for all of this. Be with us now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you guys have your Bible, and I hope that you do, turn to Exodus chapter 20. I guess I should say, turn or scroll, if you're using your device or phone or iPad or Chromebook or desktop, I don't know, whatever you're using. If somebody's got a desktop in here, that would be awesome. I would laugh so hard if there's like literally a monitor looking, yeah, like a little tabletop thing, but they actually put a tower there. That'd be great. So we're in Exodus chapter 20, and we are continuing our study through the Ten Commandments. And so we're on the fourth commandment. And so let's quickly review without anybody turning around and looking behind them. What is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? You guys can just answer. You don't need to raise your hand. What's the first commandment? Okay. I am the Lord your God, have no other gods before me, right? What's the second commandment? No idols. We would say it is make no graven image, right? Which is the idea of making something to worship as an idol, right? What's the third commandment? What about the Lord's name in vain? Yeah, because somebody might interpret that totally differently. They're like, take the Lord's name in vain. No, we don't do that. So the third commandment is you should not take the Lord's name in vain, right? We talked about that last week. And what does the word vain mean? When you think of the word vain, what do we talk about that meaning? Useless. Without weight. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no weight to it. There's no substance to it, right? It's just, there's no meaning, right? There's no heart to it, right? So every time we say the name of our Lord, whether it be any name that he has, by the way, read the word of God. He has many names, right? But whether we say our Father who art in heaven, and we're talking about our Father being God, that Father is a name that we've given him. The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Every time we say his name, we're putting the weight of that name into the expression. We're believing he is holy and righteous, right? It's more than just a curse word. So many people say, well, that just means you're not supposed to use God's name as a curse word. Of course, we're not supposed to use God's name as a curse word. And it kind of blows me away, as we said last week, that the things on TV that used to not even be allowed, when they started allowing all that stuff, they started with taking the Lord's name in vain, which I don't find is a coincidence. And if we can get away with that, then everything else is pretty much petty to that and second to that. So we don't want to do that, but it's more than that. It's more than just using it as a curse word. It's using his name without the weight and without the substance that it deserves, right? So now we're on the fourth commandment. And the fourth commandment we find in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. So I'd love to get a volunteer who would like to read that for us. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Who'd like to read that? Awesome. Rick, thank you.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is in the sea, and all that is in the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. So here we come across the Sabbath day, the commandment involving the Sabbath day. Now, quick reminder, has the law been fulfilled in Christ fully and completely? Yes or no? Yes. So all who come to Christ are saved because of Jesus' sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. I am not saved in part or in whole by anything I can do to contribute to the law of God. I am saved fully in belief in Christ, repenting of my sin and trusting in Christ. And now I live as a follower of Christ with the law, the moral law of God, as that benchmark. I'm striving to please God by following these commands, not to keep or merit my salvation, but as a result of wanting to please my Father, his moral law becomes my standard. I'm striving for that. I do not want to commit murder because in committing murder, right? I'm marring the name of God. I'm marring the name of Christ. Now, here's the reality. In our world today, we put sins on higher or lower scales. Some sins are okay, some sins are kind of moderate, and some are really bad. But the reality is, the Bible says if you offend in one area, you offend in all. So to lie or to bear false witness, a command, or to commit adultery, both are violating the same commandments. So you might say, I've never committed murder, but if you've bore false witness or you've lied or you've coveted, which what is another word for coveted? Lusted after. So you've lusted after something. Maybe your neighbor has a nice car and you think you deserve that car and he doesn't deserve that car and I want that car. You're doing exactly what the law says not to do. Because, by the way, we'll get there, but why is coveting so bad? Why is lusting after something someone else has so bad? What might that do inside of us? Bring up bitterness and envy, and even ultimately what? Hate, right? They don't deserve that. I'm better than them. Now we're judging them. And so when you see these commandments, we tend to think, well, yeah, I broke that one, but I've never broke that one. You may be sitting there thinking like, well, okay, I've used the Lord's name in vain before, but I've never committed adultery. So I'm like at 80% on the test, right? I've gotten most of them right, but I've missed a couple. But that's not how God grades the test. What grade do we need to get into heaven? 100%. It's not a 98. It's not a 99. It's not like when I was in school and I barely got by with that C-, D+. Come on. Amen. A D just meant I didn't have to see that teacher the next semester. That's all that meant. So I was like, hey, I'll take it. Give me the D. It's not that kind of test. It's either perfect or you fail. It's either 100% or you fail. So the only way I can pass the test and stand before God one day and be declared innocent and blameless is because Christ fulfilled this law. So as the moral law, which the commandments are, we strive to see that as a standard we live for. The Sabbath commandment is a unique commandment even among the ten. And it's treated differently, I should say. It's seen as unique, and commands obviously are about your relationship with God. The rest of them about how you interact with other people is moral standard. But that Sabbath, they treat it as though it's ceremonial. That it's actually going to do something to merit something for me. It's kind of been made more than it really it should be for a Christian. But I want to walk through that tonight and see where we end up. So what is the Sabbath day? Let's kind of break it down. What is the Sabbath day? The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. And according to the calendar that the Jews would use, it'd be Friday at sundown till Saturday at sundown. So remember the Jewish calendar, the Roman calendar, they were slightly different. This is why if you read about the crucifixion of Christ, and there's a great argument about how many days was he actually in the grave. We know he was in the tomb for how long? 3 days. But people go, well, wait, but he died on Friday and he rose on Sunday. That's not three full 24-hour days. And again, you got to remember the Jewish calendar, any part of a day was a day. So if he died on Friday, they count the whole day. Saturday is a whole day, Sunday would be a whole day, and he rose on the third day. So there's two different kind of calendars here. So for the Jewish calendar, the Sabbath is not Sunday. It's Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. And this day was set aside for the children of Israel to rest in remembrance that God created the universe in 6 literal days and then rested on the seventh. Now this is interesting. Some people will say that the Genesis account, the creation account, the first two chapters of Genesis are not historical. They're just figurative. Those aren't real days. That one day could be thousands of years, maybe even millions of years. And they'll go to a verse in Peter, right, where Peter says one day with the Lord is as a thousand years and a thousand years as one day. Well, see, Genesis 1 and 2, those are thousands of years. The problem is that Genesis 1 and 2 are not recorded as days in that same sense as Peter's using day. Peter's talking about a day from God's point of view in his heaven, in his timeline of when he's coming again. In Moses' account of Genesis 1 and 2, he's being very specific. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. He's given a specific timeline to these days. The other reason we can trust that is historically accurate is, what is the basis for God giving a Sabbath day? What is God's basis for saying on the seventh day you need to rest? Because on the seventh day he rested after he did what in 6 days? Created everything. That's what the Bible says. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and thou shalt do any work in it, to go on there. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Is Moses confused on what kind of days? Does he mean 6 days of 1,000 years each day? No. Because here's the thing. The Sabbath wasn't a figurative Sabbath. They didn't rest every 1,000 years on the Sabbath. Every literal seventh day was a day of rest. But the principle is the seventh day, an actual day. So originally the Sabbath was a day of rest, and that purpose was retained in the Mosaic Law. Now, I'm going to read some verses. You're not going to be able to write them all down because I'm going to go pretty quick. So if you want these passages, just let me know and I'll give them to you. All right? But in the Mosaic Law, we see this repeated, this idea of the Sabbath being a day of rest. Exodus 16, 23 through 29. Exodus 31, 14 through 16. Exodus 35, 2 and 3. Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. We even see in Nehemiah 13, 15 through 22. Following the captivity, Nehemiah reaffirms the day of the Sabbath as a day of rest. Jeremiah preceding the captivity with the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah 17, 21 through 27 reaffirms the Sabbath is a day of rest. Now, under the Old Covenant, so many people have also said, well, yeah, but the Sabbath is a day of worship. And it does involve worship. Because they'll say, well, it's supposed to be holy. And it does involve holiness and sacredness and putting aside a day to honor God and to worship God. But don't think the Jews only worshiped on the Sabbath. In the Old Testament covenant, sacrifices were made daily at the temple or the tabernacle, depending on the timeline. The worship, if you will, was continual. There were special commands given to Israel regarding a sacred assembly held on the Sabbath. We see this in Leviticus and Numbers. But the keeping of the Sabbath was a sign of the covenant between Israel and the Lord. And we see this in Exodus 31. So yes, there was worship involved. Yes, there was this idea of sacred assemblies. But the primary purpose of the Sabbath was rest for the nation of Israel and a sign of the covenant between God and Israel. The surrounding pagan nations, they didn't understand a seventh day rest. They didn't have that in their culture. There was no such day. So to them, when they see Israel taking this one day and saying, nope, our God says this is a day of rest, we must set it aside, and we honor him as the Lord of all creation on that day, really every day, but specifically this day recognizes that, it would be not only a sign between Israel and God, but also what to the nations around them? This is a testimony. And what is it a testimony of? That God is the God of all creation, that God is Lord and Master and King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's a testimony of that. And again, what was Israel's primary function as a people in the land for the other nations around them? What were they supposed to be to them? Missionaries. They're supposed to be testifying of who God is, of the law of God and the love of God and all of this. And yet, they even allowed this to get skewed and away from its purpose. The keeping of the Sabbath became a witness of their devotion to the Lord, acknowledging him as the Lord of all creation, as well as promotion of their own welfare. I mean, think about it. This is better for them. The fact that God cares enough about them to say, on the seventh day, rest. But not just them. Who else has to rest? Yeah, your animals can't be out. You can't have animals out in the field working, right? You can't have your servants working. Your children shouldn't be working. Now, again, we get to Jesus' day and age. This has been completely misconstrued. And work has been completely redefined to the point where Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And what do the religious do? Yeah, they chastise him. It's the Sabbath. You can't work. And I love what Jesus does. He's so good at this. By the way, if you have a question for Jesus, ask it knowing he's going to just ask you a question back. And you better be ready to be humbled in the question that he asks you. And you're probably not going to speak back to him, right? This is why I love the book of Job. At the end of Job, I love Job's response. God never tells him why he suffers. God never tells him why he takes everything from him, that it was this spiritual thing between him and Satan. He literally just tells Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? And Job's response was, I'm going to shut my mouth now. Like, that's pretty amazing that Job's like us. Okay, my bad. I shouldn't have said anything. I'm just going to be quiet now. So here we see on this day that the Pharisees rebuked Job. If your livestock was stuck in a ditch, would you leave it till the next day? Or would you go and pull it out of the ditch? Now, I love that he says that because he's speaking to one of the Pharisees, and I tend to think that Pharisee, the week before, maybe pulled his animal out of the ditch and nobody else was around. And that man probably was like, how do you know I did that? Nobody was there, right? Because I think Jesus would do those kind of things. Be like, you want to come at me? I know you pulled the animal out of the ditch last week. The point was, how much more valuable, how much more worthy is one of God's own children of Abraham to bring healing and wholeness that you would chastise the one bringing healing? And so again, it's gotten blown out of proportion by the New Testament. It's completely misconstrued. But the heart of it is it's a blessing to Israel. It's a blessing to God's people. It's for their betterment. And we're going to talk about at the end how it's even better for us still today to have that day of rest. So here we see the fourth commandment is also the longest of the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you guys caught that when Rick was reading that for us. If you read over the other commandments, you're going to see that this is the longest commandment as far as just the amount of content. I love what John Durham notes about that. This probably reflects the fact that keeping the Sabbath proved to be the most difficult commandment to keep. Now, isn't that interesting? I would think the hardest commandment to keep would be the first one. But apparently, there's so much content here, and maybe this is just opinion, but maybe it was the most difficult commandment to keep. Because why? Man, we want to work, right? We want to provide. We got stuff to do. Now, in our generation today, it's kind of a little bit of both. Some people don't want to do anything. Some people want to do everything. Workaholics, right? Working 80 hours a week and all this. And so maybe that idea of taking a rest was actually one of the harder commandments to follow. And we know the same is true for us today. Nowadays, the busier you are, the higher the status you seem to have. What do I mean by that? So often people wear busyness like a badge of honor. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm working so much. Oh, I'm just so... And it's true, but it's almost like this kind of this air, like we kind of look at that person and go, man, they're always so busy. And what do we equate with busyness? Productivity. The busier you are, the more you're getting done. And we're going to find out in a little bit here that may not be the case. So we see what the Sabbath day is. It's primarily a day of what? What's the primary purpose of the Sabbath? Rest. Also, what are we doing on that day? Or what were they doing on that day? They were keeping it holy by honoring God in their resting, right? In the rest was the honoring of God. But they did have special assemblies and they did have special things they would do on the Sabbath. So the question arises for us today, if we apply this to our lives as Christians today. Do we have to worship on the Sabbath day? Now, the New Testament records Jews and converts to Judaism meeting in synagogues on the Sabbath. We see this in Mark, Luke, Acts as an example. There's plenty of scriptures I could give you. And again, if you want those, I can give them to you. But obviously, no work is being done on the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day would be the ideal day to have organized worship services. If you're going to have a church service at a synagogue, what's the day that's the best day? When nobody's doing anything work-wise. So we'll hold them there. However, the New Testament does not command that the Sabbath be the day of worship for the church. The church is not under the Mosaic law. A common error in the Sabbath-keeping debate, if you will, is the concept that the Sabbath was the day of worship. And again, remember, we do that. We think, oh, but they worshiped in the synagogues on the Sabbath in the New Testament. Yes, but was that the original intent of the Sabbath? It was actually a day of rest, primarily. So many people say, well, they worshiped on the day of the Sabbath in the New Testament, the Jews did, so we as Christians should worship on the same day. Seventh-day Adventists believe this and hold to this idea, and other groups as well, that God requires the church to service to be held on Saturday. So they would say the Sabbath is Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. So church should be held on a Saturday. This is not what the Sabbath command was. The Sabbath command was to do no work on the Sabbath day. Also, the Bible nowhere describes Christians setting aside the Sabbath day as the day of worship. The only scriptures that describe Christians in any sense meeting on the Sabbath are in fact pointing to evangelistic efforts at Jewish synagogues. Which, again, when did they meet? On the Sabbath day. So if you're a Christian and you want to go evangelize the Jewish community and you know you're preaching the Messiah that they've been awaiting, where's the best opportunity and the best location to go do that? On the Sabbath at the synagogues. This is what Paul did, right? So often he'd go to an area and the first place he would go would be the synagogue. And he'd begin to debate with them from the scriptures. and kind of have these conversations. Where would Paul go after Gentile? One of the only cases he kind of changed this is in Acts 16. He went to where Lydia and some were gathered by the riverside, most likely because in that area of Philippi, there was not enough Jews to necessitate a synagogue. So they went to where they would gather by running water. And so Paul would often go to these synagogues to evangelize. He was not advocating that the Sabbath is the day of worship, but he was going to reach those that needed to be reached for the gospel. So following the church, starting on the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts 2:46 that the believers met how often? When the church was first founded and the day of Pentecost takes place, how often did the early church meet in the very beginning? Every day. Side note, how do you think churches would do in our culture, in our community, if we said we're going to have service every single day? As far as attendance, how do you think that would go? Probably not great, right? Yeah, Dennis. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Yep, absolutely. Well, and that's like I was getting ready to say. So like a lot of Catholic churches will offer Mass every day. A lot of evangelical churches, Protestant churches won't do that. But we actually have a missionary. You guys know Brother Tika in the Philippines. They have church 7 days a week. And they open it up for anyone to come. He said sometimes they'll have a bunch of people there. Sometimes they'll have just a couple people. But they do it every day because they want to reach somebody every single day. So if the church's pattern in the beginning was church every day, then we can't say that the Sabbath day is somehow a greater day of worship for the church than Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, any other day. And that's the idea, that in the early church, they had church every single day. The Bereans, we read about them in Acts 17. The Bereans, as a group, studied the scriptures every day. There is no evidence in the New Testament that the apostles or the early Christians in any sense observed the Sabbath day as the prescribed day of worship. So, did they hold a certain day of worship as a special day of gathering? We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16:2, both mentioned Christians meeting on the first day of the week. Traditionally, the church has held their to the early church, or the first on the first day of the week on Sundays. Yeah, it's to recognize that that's the day that we believe Jesus rose from the grave. And so again, God doesn't change the Sabbath. That's one thing I've heard people say. Well, when did God change the Sabbath? He never does. But again, remember, we're not under the Mosaic law. So what are we doing? We're drawing the principle of this command and seeing how we can apply it to our lives today as Christians. So number one, the example we see in the New Testament and the early church, They did not worship on the Sabbath day alone. They worshiped every day of the week, and they recognized Sunday as a prescribed day of worship for the corporate body to come together. However, they did not mandate that that is the only day that we can come together and worship. So that means when we gather here on a Wednesday night and get into the Word and we are talking through these things and we're praying for these things, we're just as much worshiping the Lord as a body of Christ as we will on Sunday morning, right? Same thing with Sunday night. By the way, the kids over here, the teens upstairs, they're not the church of tomorrow practicing what it means to be the church. They're the body of Christ today. They're worshiping. They're in the Word. They're praising the Lord just like we are. And so again, it's not that there's a prescribed day of the week. That's the day that the church has held as a day of worship. Again, in celebration of Christ's resurrection. As we kind of finish this up, I want to make it, I know I'm kind of going quick here, but basically the idea is, I really want us to get that the Sabbath day is important to us and it is valuable to us, but not in the sense that we have to follow Friday night to Saturday night. This also doesn't mean that if you attend church on a Wednesday and miss church on a Sunday, that you're violating the command of God. We should always strive to gather with the body of Christ as much as possible. Again, not because it's convenient and not even because it's what we feel like doing. Why is it so important to gather with the body of Christ? Well, number one, what are we doing when we come together? Who are we worshiping? The Lord. We're giving praise to the Lord, right? This other thing we're doing is we're in the Word. So that's helping others and that's helping grow us. We're praying of Christ. But the greatest and most important reason we gather as the body of Christ is because the Lord says that we need to gather as the body of Christ. So whether you see the benefit in it or not is kind of irrelevant. The key is if we're going to live in obedience, we need to gather. And so again, that may mean for some people, Sunday night is the night that you're able to gather on Sunday, or Sunday morning, or Wednesday night, or two of those three, or all three, or whatever it looks like. The point is, we need to be gathering as consistently as possible, and yet making sure that we take time to rest. So again, while the Sabbath day is not Sunday, since many Christians view Sunday as a day of worship, it was traditionally seen as a day of rest. So in our church kind of background, Sunday is not the Sabbath, but Christians for a long time would call Sunday the Sabbath. And they would say that's the day of worship and a day of rest. So you go to church, then you rest. Some people go back to church. Earlier traditions were you went to church in the morning, you had lunch at the church, you had a little service, and then you were done for the day. Okay, these are different traditions we've seen in church history. And so they believed Sundays were a day of rest. And this is actually and was actually accepted by the culture in our country for a long time. Really, our secular culture here in the United States recognized Sunday as a day of rest, meaning stores were closed on Sundays. Some of you are old enough to remember this. Not just Chick-fil-A, but most or all stores were closed on Sundays. Somebody told me one time, you were not able to buy alcohol on Sunday. You could not buy alcohol anywhere on a Sunday. Then they moved it to where you could only buy alcohol after noon on Sunday. And now it doesn't matter. Everything's open. Nobody treats it as any kind of a special day. Most believe this change began sometime in the mid to late 60s through the 90s. By the time we got to the 90s, a lot of these secular kind of observances of the Lord's Day or Day of Rest were pretty well done away with. And one author said it well. In one generation, Sunday evolved from a day to run errands, eat out, or just get a jump start on our work for the week ahead. Now, I'm not suggesting I never would, because praise the Lord for Chinese food. I would never say you can't eat out on a Sunday, okay? I'm not saying you can't go and buy things you need on a Sunday, because again, remember, Sunday is not the Sabbath. And if it was the Sabbath, we are not under the Sabbath. We're not bound to it as the Mosaic Law. So I'm not saying you can't do these things. I'm just pointing out, as this author does, that once upon a time, we at least saw Sunday as a unique day, a day that was given to the Lord. And yet that's begun to change in our culture, and even for a lot of Christians, it's not really that big of a deal anymore. Sunday's just another day of the week. And for some, it's a day to sleep in. It's a day to just do family things. Those things are fine. But again, if we're going to see Sunday as the day that we're going to come together to worship, then let's set it aside as something special. Now, again, every day should be living for the Lord. every day should be given to the Lord. Paul makes it clear that we don't argue and fight about this. If somebody views Wednesday night as an important day to worship the Lord and you don't fight about that. You let them have that day as long as they're living the day for the Lord. I just find it interesting that for so many generations, Sunday in American culture for the church was a day of worship, a day of rest. And we've kind of lost that in our culture and even in our churches in a lot of places. To the point where, I think I've shared this with you guys before, right after COVID, a church that shut down for COVID, not in our community, I just came across this online, they were doing online services and videos like so many churches did. And when they got to the winter of 2020 and getting ready to go into January of 2021, they made a decision as a staff of their church to not have any physical gatherings for the coming years. That they realized people so enjoyed not having to get up, get ready, go to a building, sit for a couple hours, and then go home. They liked the convenience of church online. And so what they decided as a staff was, and the one pastor actually said, who really expects somebody to give up their Sundays for church? That was their opinion. So again, they went to this whole online thing. We're going to make it convenient for you. I'm not saying you can't watch online if you can't make it to the building or something's going on. But man, we need to be gathering with the body of Christ. And so I found it interesting as well, the day of rest. So we need a day of rest, not just a day of worship, but a day of rest, whether it's Saturday, whether it's broken up over the weekend, but trying to find time to find that rest. I found it interesting, and I'm going to close with this. In studying for this, a resource pointed out that work productivity, we said this earlier, work more hours, what do we think will happen? More productivity. Work productivity actually decreases the more hours we work beyond a certain point. The author points out, in fact, once you work a certain number of hours in a week, your productivity plummets. He says, do you want to know what the number is? Roughly 50 hours a week. He found that there was zero difference between workers who logged 70 hours and those who logged 55 hours. Could God be speaking to us even through our own bodies that we need a day of rest? And so I want to encourage you guys. I know that we're all busy. I know that we have a lot of stuff going on. I know there's all kinds of things pulling at us. I know there's busy seasons and then slower seasons. I just want to encourage you. We live in a culture that pushes more is better. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day about someone that I know that is getting this position at their work and they're going to make just way more money than I could imagine that somebody would need to make. But it's all good, whatever, they're making the money. And the person was so excited about making this so much money an hour. They were so geeked up about that. And then the more I heard about it, it's like, well, yeah, but because they're in this position and making all this money, they now have to work a minimum of this many hours. And this person is a younger person, single, in their 20s. So there's no family commitments. There's nothing like that. But they're literally working 7 days a week most weeks. And their whole motivation is, yeah, but I'm making all this money. And I told this person as we were talking, because I said about how much money this person might be making, and the person I was talking to went, oh, wow, that'd be nice. And I said, maybe. I'm like, what do you mean? I'd kill to have that much money. And I was like, well, there's this thing. You're giving your time for that money, and you're sacrificing something to make that money. So what you're sacrificing, is it worth giving up that to benefit with this? And in our culture, we're told constantly, the answer is always yes. Sacrifice family. Sacrifice your commitment to the Lord. Sacrifice serving. Who cares? Work 75, 80 hours a week. At the end of the day, you're going to have this awesome retirement. You're going to be making bank, big house, cars, all this stuff. And yet what happens? We end up losing in the end. And so again, just a reminder, rest. Find the time every week to rest, whatever that looks like for you. Dennis, real quick, and then we got to close. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I understand some careers, you don't have as much of a choice. You might have to work those extra hours because you just don't get a say. I get that. But where you do have the choice, always think about, okay, Am I driven by what the culture and the world wants me to be driven with, or am I driven with what the Lord would have me to do? What's best for me spiritually? What's best for my family? What's best for the Lord and his glory? And so again, be praying about that, thinking about that, but find that time to rest. It is so important that we take the Lord's wisdom. Again, what is the Sabbath primarily about? A day of rest. Are we bound? It has to be Friday night or Saturday? No. But it's an example we need to look to, because again, it honors him as the Lord of all creation. He knows what's best, right? Well, let's pray, and then we'll let you guys be dismissed to our prayer group. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, we do thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that you are the God of all creation, and you know what's best for us. Lord, you know that we need to set aside time for rest, time for worship. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us wisdom in this. Lord, there's so many different situations that come into play, so many different dynamics, schedules. Some find themselves working hours at very different times than others. For some, their weekends are their busy hours, busy times, and they get a day off during the week. For others, Lord, it's a 9-to-5. For some, it's the allure of overtime and increased pay and all of that. And Lord, so do we take a little here and a little there and Lord, use wisdom time for you above all things, both in our personal devotional life and in worship with the church. We want to make sure that we're focusing in and setting aside time for our family, which, Lord, you've blessed us with our families, and we've been given an opportunity to disciple our children, our spouse. Are we investing in those areas? Lord, in all these things, again, we pray, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, Lord, help us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We do not want to be motivated by what motivates the world. We want to be motivated by what you would have for us. And so, Lord, again, I know that we're all in different situations and occupations. Some of us, our hours are chosen for us. We really have no say. So, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom. When we can rest, we will. When we need to be productive and work, we will. And in all of it, we'll give you glory. So, Father, be with us as we go into our time of prayer. Thank you for those that are here tonight, Lord, and I pray that you would work. My words are feeble. Lord, I'm unable to communicate what you'd have for us, and I pray that you would do that work by the moving of your Spirit. Thank you for all that you do, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to dismiss you guys to prayer group. Men down the hallway, ladies down in the nursing cry room. Again, we've got new prayer guides up here as well, so I'll give some to Lynn. I'll have some for the guys, and then we'll finish up at 8:15 or a little before. All right.